Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Caster, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Mayor Kerry Turgeon. Hello, Kerry.
Hello.
Kerry is joining us here in our NT on Tap studio today. We are exercising good physical distance here, and we appreciate her coming in during this pandemic for this podcast. So today we're going to talk about the tornado that came through the Jefferson City area a year ago, May 22nd. It entered the southern portion of Jefferson City, left a wide path of devastation as it damaged or destroyed businesses and homes in the area. The storm left the city after passing through Capitol Avenue. We were blessed. No lives were lost during the tornado, but it did leave a significant path of destruction that the city today is still dealing with. So, Kerry, take us back to the night of the tornado. Walk us through what you experienced as mayor, but also what you and your family experienced personally as a victim of the storm.
Well, certainly all of us in Jefferson City were impacted by that storm, whether it had a direct impact on our home or business or not. And going back to that night, I mean, we knew storms were coming, and very thankful that the media was very good about telling us ahead of time. And so we were tuned into that. And I, of course, had the TV on, and like many people, was watching Zach Paul showing the radar. And it was a sound in his voice like I had never heard before. And then hearing the words that there was a tornado on the ground, and then seeing places like the hospital and the schools and saying, well, that's our backyard here in Jefferson City, and the fear and the worry and the concern. And after that, immediately checking on my family and calling and texting, are you okay? And just assuming I would hear back, yes, everything's fine. Are you okay? Yes, we're fine. After that, and for my own family, then checking on my brother, like, oh, let me just check on my little brother. And hearing him in such a panic, just saying, it's gone. And his business had taken a direct hit. So he had seen the security cameras showing it basically kind of being blown away by the tornado, because he was on the south end of Jefferson City off of Highway 54. So his storage unit business was basically leveled. Mm-hmm. So hearing the panic in his voice was the first really memory that I have of that it really had hit, and it was very serious. So that was just in the minutes following the tornado. Right. But then shortly after that, going to City Hall, and I live on the west side, so as I drove in, you know, you could see where it had hit. And walking into the emergency operations center at the police department, I think was the worst moment I remember, because having to ask, is everybody okay?
Yeah.
And hearing the news that so far they were still rescuing and searching, but that was the worst moment, was the not knowing if anybody was seriously hurt or worse. And so then working through that and seeing the cohesiveness and watching everybody spring into action from our emergency operations, the police and fire department, and then units from all over Mid-Missouri that had really converged here to spring into action and rescue and help people, was incredible. But I just remember it being so dark, and driving around that evening and seeing, you know, middle of the night, and just you couldn't see, and people wandering around in the streets, just like, what just happened? And those are the images you'll never forget. As dark as it was, you can still see it just so clear. And then before the sun even came up, I mean, literally an hour after the tornado, my phone was ringing with, for example, the Today Show, and then so many media outlets were calling that I literally don't think I ever even got them all called back, ever, because it was so many. And so before the sun came up, I'm talking to the nation about what had just hit Jefferson City when I didn't even know what was going on myself.
Right, right. So how does it unfold then? Light comes. What are you doing that first day?
The first day was mainly communicating the message to our community of what just happened. We were very fortunate. We had Lieutenant David Williams, who was really very vocal in communicating minute by minute with what residents should know and what they should do. And then really my role became just figuring out, how do we pick up the pieces and how do we let everybody know that, okay, we're okay and we're going to be okay. And really not even knowing that, but having to say it to the city and to the world, and then believing it. Right. And coming from that place of, you know, looking and seeing cars turned upside down and homes half gone, and just thinking, how did everybody survive and get out of here and find cover amid every amount of destruction that we were seeing? And thinking about MoDOT coming through with the snowplows because it was so severe, you couldn't even get in the streets or in the areas. So that was what the morning brought, was just to be able to see in the daylight the destruction and how broad it was certainly images that we will never forget. And even that morning, the governor, of course, came to one of the press conferences and we toured some destruction together, and seeing it firsthand was, I'll never forget going to the Rileys and seeing them and just not even the cars upside down and the destruction and all the mangled mess that you just can't hardly describe with words, but the look on their faces. I will never forget having to see, you know, the Riley family and seeing their face after they had just gone through that. Mm-hmm. So those are the images you never forget.
Yeah. So what were some of the biggest challenges in those first hours and days that the city faced?
Wow, there were so many. Number one, making sure everybody was okay, that those that were needing immediate help were able to get it. And then continuing to check on people and making sure that we knew, I mean, people who were displaced that didn't have, for example, they didn't have their medications, they didn't have their IDs, they didn't have anything, and getting the word to people that they were okay. I remember just kind of that, what do we do now feeling with the people in the direct area. But seeing the extent of it, it just felt like it just went on and on. It was so extensive. And from the residences and the people out on the streets and the apartments and then the businesses and then Capitol Avenue. I mean, hearing that night, that was one of the first things I remember hearing on the news was, you know, Capitol Avenue was hit. And I thought, how can that be? That's the area we're restoring. Like, what do you mean? And then the prison, I thought, whoa, how can that be? That's a fortress. What do you mean the prison was hit? So it was really an odd, trying to process the amount of destruction was certainly a challenge.
Yeah. So in the immediate days and weeks after May 22nd, what did you see happening in the city? What were some of the things that just made you proud and encouraged by what you saw?
It was really instantaneous, the amount of people coming out to help. So first, the first memories are just the disbelief, the destruction, the devastation, and almost immediately people saying, what can I do to help? How can I help? What do you need? And the amount of volunteer effort that mobilized was incredible, and neighbors helping neighbors. And I mean, it was overwhelming in a good way to see that many people coming and really converging on Jefferson City to assist, people from near and far that were instantly ready to help. So I think the thought of dropping everything to help others was incredible. And people who lost everything or that were hit themselves were out there helping their neighbors and other people, saying, hey, maybe they lost their home or their business, but they're okay. So what can they do to help their neighbor? Which was really incredible. Or people feeling like they were hit worse than we were, so we are helping them. Mm-hmm. We saw that across the board, countless stories of people who were impacted on their own or their own families that put all of that aside and were ready to help others. So people were feeding others, they were bringing meals, they were helping just emotionally, just being there for people. I mean, I remember just some of the hugs and thoughts and words and looking into people's faces and just having that moment that we are going to get through this. We don't really know how in the beginning, but that we will. But watching people come together was certainly the best part.
Yeah. Talk a little bit more about the idea of some of the specific examples, maybe not naming names, but specific examples of how folks were really struggling at that time. Because, you know, years passed, and so there's a tendency sometimes we kind of, oh yeah, I'd forgotten about that. I mean, what are things today that still tug at your heart that you think about that you witnessed those days after the tornado came through?
Oh, there's a lot of them. You know, one was the morning after we were in the Dunklin Street area, and I remember seeing a family in the daylight kind of looking at, you know, the car was like sideways, and you could see them, and they were looking and talking like, oh, you know, look at the car, you know, but like, we're okay, you know, we're fine, we're all right, we made it, you know. But it was just the watching the families looking at the destruction that was their home that's really no longer, but that they had this the resilient nature of those that were in that residential area, and it was a huge, when I say residential, I'm talking a huge area of Jefferson City, but mm-hmm. the residences is probably the thing I remember most. And in the days and weeks following, I remember one woman who lived there that had said, this is just God's way of saying new beginnings. And I thought, you know, just the attitude, I thought, I can't imagine losing a home, losing to the extent that some people lost.
Right.
But I did not hear complaints. I didn't hear people, although I'm sure they were saying, why me and why did this happen? That they were the strongest examples that I've ever seen. I mean, people were saying, hey, we're going to get through this. New beginnings. The Lord was watching over us. We are so thankful. Mm-hmm. And to hear, like, looking at the destruction and hearing people say how thankful they are, it's pretty amazing, because there's a lot of stress that comes along with that, but they were looking at the fact that they were still there, and they realized that car doesn't matter. The house doesn't matter. Yeah, there's right. memories and there's things that are irreplaceable, but what is really irreplaceable in life? What really matters in life? And that absolutely came to the forefront.
What are some of the things that really gnaw at you still that you've not been able to address, that maybe challenges that the city continues to face when it comes to recovery from the tornado?
You know, we still have windows boarded up. We still have tarps on roofs. We still have people who have left that haven't come back. We still have challenges emotionally. We still have, all of those things still exist. And I know immediately following, I had mayors from around the country reach out to me. And the one thing they told me is long term. You are in this for the long haul. This will be years. Don't think it's going to be months. Mm-hmm. And prepare yourself and your city to be in it for the long term. And we are, but that's easier said than done. Some of those communities have been several years out. And for us to be in still the really kind of the early stages of the long-term recovery,
right.
that gnaws at me a bit, because I know that there are still people that are struggling emotionally, physically, mentally, and just with their homes or their jobs or just getting back to where they were before. And I think it's evident now, thinking about the 1 year. I mean, it's something we all have to come to terms with and deal with, but it's not an easy or good subject to talk about. It can bring us back to some fear. And so I think that's also a challenge, is just the overall, you know, staying strong and the wellness component to that, I think, is something that it's not an afterthought, but mm-hmm. it is something that affects all of us, whether we had a home directly affected or not. We're all dealing with that still a year later, and I think we always will.
Yeah. So when you talk about that road to recovery, I know one of the things that comes immediately to mind was our housing crisis. Jefferson City was challenged with affordable housing before the tornado. Certainly was amplified by the tornado with the loss of rentals and apartment complexes, things like that. What is the path forward with that? I mean, what's the city trying to do to address that element of recovery?
It is something that is definitely at the forefront. And also I would add, in addition to the city, I know we've had conversations with the chamber of local developers that are asking, that are interested in building housing. Mm-hmm. The question is where, and finding property that's available from maybe whether it's private developers that would want to develop is harder than it sounds. But I'm hopeful, because there are developers. I know they've talked directly to me and the chamber and the city saying, We would like to look into this option. So it is out there, but it's not quite as quick or easy as we would like it to be.
Right.
Working very closely with Habitat, Susan Cook has been an amazing director there. Mm-hmm. They are continuing their Blitz build this year. And then we also have a housing subcommittee on the long-term recovery committee. So that's, we had a lot of discussions, and then the pandemic came. And so we're sort of in a place that we're trying to deal with multiple disasters.
Right.
But that is still a top priority, regardless. So,
yeah. Well, and again, it's a path to recovery. It's not a turn the switch and turns on. That is one of the challenges that's probably most folks do understand that the city is going to be facing and is facing. What are some other challenges that maybe the tornado brought to light that we still need to address beyond housing and things such as that?
Yeah, beyond the housing, if we look at the business community, we know that there were several that were not able to recover, that closed. I know that, for example, the bowling alley, a lot of people talk about that one, the need and the desire to bring that back. Well, you know, it was hit pretty hard. I think preparedness is an important component that for both businesses and on all of us alike, that, you know, we kind of had an attitude in Jefferson City, this would never happen to us. So knowing that when we hear the sirens, that you take cover, and I don't think anybody will ever not be running to their basement again when they hear the sirens. But that wasn't necessarily how we thought of it before. So realizing that, number one, you've got to be prepared, have those redundancies in place. Think for a minute, what would happen if suddenly your cell phone, your car keys, everything was gone?
Yeah.
All of it, what would you do? And it's hard for us to comprehend, but there are people in Jefferson City that said, yeah, they went through that. All of it was gone. So taking a moment to practice on those blue sky days and being prepared. And we were lucky in Jeff City. We had those relationships with our public safety, with our organizations, that we were able to come together and get a method and a network for recovery. But I cannot underestimate how important those relationships and preparedness is. I would stress that to all communities out there. If they're not ready and don't think this can happen, that it certainly can.
I think that is one of the lessons of the tornado, that, or any disaster at that point. You really assess what do I need to be better prepared for the next time? You know, whether it's passwords to accounts because they're all in one location, or where car keys are, where personal information is that you want to protect, all that stuff. I think we all face that responsibility, and you certainly have that perspective after the disaster that you don't want to be in that spot again. By the same token, the city has the same sort of approach to that as well. We were doing a story, we're actually doing a story for this coming Sunday's edition, where we talk about the three disasters the city's basically faced this last year, the flooding, the tornado, and now the pandemic.
And the hailstorm.
I forgot about the hailstorm. Four, okay. But there's that element of one of the city staff members mentioned when he was talking about the flooding, that the city learned from previous floodings, that, you know, what areas were prone to flood first, what to do to mitigate damages, and they learned from their mistakes, you know, or learned from how they were unable to meet their goals. So when you look back at the tornado, as the mayor, what are things that we should learn as a city government from this disaster? How should we respond differently in some way, whether it's during the disaster or after the disaster?
You know, Jefferson City, I think we could be used as an example. And I don't just say that because I'm the mayor. I say that because I heard that repeatedly from other organizations that came in to help us. I heard from, for example, the public safety sector that came in and helped. They said, you know, Jefferson City, we really had it down. The way we work together so well, we collaborate between the city, the county, the state, and our other areas around Columbia and in other cities that came together. So we had a lot of those relationships built in. So we were a great example of that. I also think that we were an example from some of the like, for example, when the Adventists came to town and they helped us get the distribution center, because we had to have that place that people could get their mm-hmm. items. And they said other cities they've done, they found that they had to rent places. They were charged an extremely high amount of money, first of all, to even find space. And here we had Capital West Christian Church that said, here, use it. Just do it. Right. Use our space. So, and that's one example. We had so many places that said, here, we've got the resources. You need space. You need this. You need that. I know Capital Mall allowed us to use that area. I mean, you name it. Everybody, and I'm, you know, naming names, and I'm leaving people out, but sure. So extensive. And people would say, that's unheard of. I mean, that is not the norm you would think it would be, but we're used to that in Jefferson City. So, you know, how can we do better? I think we absolutely can, but I think other cities can learn from how we've handled it, because we were able to just make a phone call and somebody was ready to help, yeah. No matter what the situation. And when I mentioned Columbia coming down here, and I remember that first in the middle of the night seeing all the officers there from Columbia ready to go, and now we have even a more solidified agreement, like some of our cooperative agreements that we've put in place even since the tornado, so that we know that's in place. So when they need us, we're there to help them, or they're here to help us. And Mayor Treese, I remember him calling saying, "What do you need? What do you need? You need our trucks, you need our people. What do you need? We are here for you." And conversely, we would do the same for them. But having those relationships between our city governments and jurisdictions and the state, I mean, MoDOT having, you know, their snow plows out clearing roads, having the utility companies that were setting up instantaneously, getting our power back restored, having those kind of relationships, we have them very well here, and we just continue to stay in touch. And that's just the kind of city that we are and the kind of leadership that we have across all of those sectors.
So we're at the 1 year anniversary. What should we expect the next year?
I think we can look back and be proud of where we've come in the first year. I mean, and sometimes we forget until we, you know, we look and see boarded up and people still displaced, but then you take a minute and look back at some of those pictures that we kind of have blocked out, or some of us, even I tend to not think about that. But then you look at it and you look and think, wow, was that really here? I mean, was that our streets? Was that our homes? Was that our business? Was that Jefferson City in these pictures? Like, how can that be? So when you see and compare and look at the pictures and go back in our mind and think about that, the days and hours following, we have come so far, so far. So I think that gives us a lot of hope, because we have come a long way, but then we know there's still a lot of work to be done. So I think continuing to have patience is just very key. We have to know we're in it for the long haul. This has made us a much stronger community, and in the next year, it will only continue to do so. We've been through a lot since the tornado, including that the pretty devastating hailstorm that damaged significantly, you know, a lot of property, and now the pandemic that we're all faced with. So we kind of continue. Sometimes I think when that hail was pounding down on my roof, I thought, really? Like, we've been through so much. But then I realized pretty quickly that we can handle it. I mean, we will do this. And so in the next year, I think we'll continue to see us rebuilding and being strong, and that should we should continue on that path. And I think we'll continue to celebrate some of our accomplishments. So we had several ribbon cuttings of places that reopened, where the chamber, I think in one day, I forget how many we did, like 8 or 10, we went from place to place to place, right? Like, hey, we've reopened, you know. But then I also realize on the other side, not everybody has reopened. And some of those places, it's going to be years before they decide if they'll rebuild. What will they rebuild? Will they come back? So sticking with those people, whether residences or businesses, in the long haul and saying, we are still here for you, is going to be very important.
As we mark this 1 year anniversary, is there anything you want to share with our listeners?
Well, like I said that day, and I still say it again, that those winds were strong, but we are stronger. And stronger and strength has been the theme of this. I think that we just need to continue that strength. And the strength is something that grows. It's something that we saw it really grow right after the tornado, and we have it. And also having strong faith. I mean, I know that's something that for me personally, I've had to really lead from a place of faith. I always have, but even more so during this disaster. And I'd say that would be true of a lot of people in our community. But just to be strong and know that we are in this for the long term, and we're not giving up. And you know, to say that to a community that's been through four disasters recently in the last year, I know that's something not very communities have had to deal with. But we've made it through the tornado. We've done the floods. That hailstorm was quite a ringer, but we'll get through that. And then this pandemic, I think we can draw from a lot of that strength now that we're dealing with the pandemic. And there's a lot of parallels, like taking care of each other and checking on our neighbor and taking precautions, and you know, the things that apply during a pandemic. We've already been there and done that with a tornado in a different scale, and know that we do come out the other end of it. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. We can come out the other side. That's been evident after the tornado, and I feel very strongly at some point in the future we'll be able to look back after this COVID related pandemic and say we were able to come out the other side just like we did the tornado, and that we are a better community for all we've been through together.
All right. Carrie, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.